Between the Ribs with host Jonathan Morris, fourth generation farmer. First-hand insight into farming, faith, and family, as only Jonathan can bring. Between the Ribs. Between the Ribs on Florida Man Radio.
I woke up this morning, tied my boots up, cause I knew it's gonna be a long day. Tied my truck up, grab my coffee, kiss my baby, got on my way.
Florida Man Radio, what's crackalackin'? Fort Walton Beach. Between the Ribs is live at the beautiful beach weekend, 12 Miracle Parkway, down on the bottom deck at the bar, overlooking the water. Man, Randy, Jamie does it up right, don't he? This is a beautiful place. We got a good crowd. We still got hamburgers and hot dogs. This is Jonathan Morris from Florida Man Radio. We're Between the Ribs, and if you're in the Fort Walton Panhandle area, south out of BAM, anywhere you can drive to get here, we'll be here till 5 o'clock enjoying the people with the view. They got drinks at the bar. We got dogs. We're passing out meat. The grill's going. Jesse James and Alina are getting busy with it. Thank you to everybody who came out. Back home in Orlando, Maitland area, making all this come to pass, Heather Hippopotamus. How are you, ma'am?
Hello. I am fantastic.
All right. How we sounding down there? Everything good? Randy got it up right?
Yeah, you're crack-a-lackin' like busted windows.
Good deal. So I don't know, Heather, we're going to have to figure out a way next time to get you up here. This place is dynamite. We're underneath the bottom deck. So we want to give a shout out to Jamie, the owner of Beach Weekend, for having us here and allowing us to do this thing we did. And for everybody who drove down and came down, thank you to everybody. We appreciate it. Griffo for putting this all together. Everybody at Florida Man Radio. So thank you very much. We've got some stuff to get to because... First of all, I'm a Christian, but I'm an American, and I'm a grown-ass man. So when people tell me what I can and can't do, sometimes, unless it's my mom and my daddy, we may have to fist fight about it. But before that, we sell meat. And I got angry over this story because the story comes out that says what you can and can't eat amid the American bird flu pandemic.
Jonathan's try me.
I know, right? But listen, Heather, I just got off the phone with Amy, and if anybody from Central Florida knows the way our plaza is set up, we have our farm, butcher shop, market, and then directly next door to us, one door over, is a fresh seafood market, Lighthouse Seafood. And Tim and Amy were just talking out back, which is weird. I got to talk about that. But this is the worst Saturday we've had since we've opened. It's like crickets. We've had a couple rushes, a couple, five, six people in the store at a time. Now, we're kicking booty up here. I need this back, though. We're kicking booty up here. So thank you, Fort Walton, for carrying the load this weekend. We didn't have to go out of business. Thank you all very much for carrying the weight. But the story, we're just going to get into it. The story is from Dr. Darwin Detweiler, and y'all heard us talk about it on Tuesday on Shannon's show, but what brought this story out to me is the print, small print versus large print. In small print, it says what you can, C-A-N. In extra large print, font, whatever you call it, can't. What Americans can't eat. And in this chief executive is basically saying, do not go to farmers markets. Do not go to small mom and pop butcher shops. Do not go to small retails. They're unsafe. Do not use small hatcheries or small chicken farms. Like we get all of our eggs from Lake Meadow Natural in Ocoee. And Dale has a very small farm. It's like 8.5 acres of birds that are being hatched and birds that are starting to lay and birds that are on their way out going to the stew pot. He doesn't have bird flu. He's not infected by bird flu. There are no other commercial farms around him. Our eggs are completely safe. They're clean. They're inspected. They're graded. They're jam up jelly bean tight.
Is this just a way for the FDA to make money?
No, this is a way for them. So, all right. So there's nothing. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. The devil's been around for a long ass time, and I probably shouldn't cuss and talk about the Bible at the same time. I apologize, Mr. Jesus. The devil's been around for a long time, lying and tricking and deceiving people. And this is another way to control people and get us to tuck tail, bow down, and submit so they can take over their communist regime that they want, because you can't control. I'm 287 pounds today. That's what I weighed at, if the scale of the hotel is correct. And I'm strong, and I'm full. I've been eating hot dogs and hamburgers all day, and I had a piece of filet, and I've had a couple of Red Bulls. I am jacked up. No one's going to come over here and take anything from me. But if I was starving and I had no protein intake And I was like what they did in China where people were getting pea protein and rice crap and all the stuff they force feed them. Then they could show up and do anything they wanted to because we have no energy and we have nothing to fight. We have no, we basically we're just empty bodies. So I think this is another way, a planned attack, because see, when COVID happened, and this is how they titled it, 100 times more deadly than COVID. Well, why would you open with that, right? Like if you are, if you watch a good boxing match, you know, they open with a jab, they fill each other out, and then they come with the hook, or the uppercut. They're coming straight with the right cross. Right, there's no jab. They're not filling us out. They're just coming, boom. They're trying to defeat us, discourage us. So if you're home and you're scared, now no one's scared of Fort Walton. Everybody's out here eating local hamburgers, local hot dogs. Let me hear everybody if you eat local. Yeah, come on, everybody. Woo! All right. So they're trying to scare people into staying home. They're trying to scare people into thinking that HelloFresh and Uber Eats and all these delivery stores and places that bring food from big grocery stores and Walmart and Amazon to your house is the way to go. And the hypocrisy knows no bound, because the same people from the FDA and the USDA 2 months ago advised that it was unsanitary and they did not recommend getting your food from large establishments and getting it delivered to your house. But now they're telling you that that is the only safe way to eat from a reputable source that you can follow and track. But yet, that's where all the outbreaks are coming from, and that's where the bird flu is coming from. Does any of this make sense to you, Heather?
It does. But I'm wondering, like, I mean, okay, so no and yes. The yes part is they want to be in charge, so if somebody gets sick, they can be like, clearly you weren't eating our products, because right. Our products, we test everything.
Right.
So, I mean, I get that and I can appreciate that, but I also want them to stay out of my kitchen.
Well,
if I choose to eat something, that's on me.
Yes, and you're part of our CSA, so yeah. you kind of like have a bipartisan, if that's the right word. But do you want the USDA telling you, oh, you're a mom, you have children, you have a husband, you know, Mr. Hippopotamus? Do you want them telling you where you can and can't eat, what you can and can't buy? Because, see, right now it sounds very suggestive, but when they put the small businesses out of business and the farmers markets are gone because the produce guy or the meat guy or the egg guy or the girl or whoever's doing it, the butter person, the honey person, the whoever, no longer has customers, they just can't go home and eat all their stuff and not have money to pay their bills and the cost of the operations. So when they go broke, it's no longer a suggestion because now you have no choices.
Right.
Your choices have been taken away from you. And I feel like that's where they're going with it, because on the back page, and we did this last week when we were talking about the pigs. They had all the upfront scientists on their side in the first 2-3 pages of the story. And then the only guy that made sense, the guy that said, hey, wait a minute, only pigs share lung receptors with humans. Why aren't we studying pig farms? Why aren't we going out testing pig farms? That was buried on the back page of the story because they don't want the truth to come out. They don't want people to be educated. They want us to be foolish and think we have no options and have no choices.
Are they trying to tell us that our pork, are they putting more rules for that?
No, they're not.
I haven't even mentioned that.
No, they're not. And on the last page of the story, it says right here from another scientist, although there are no cases of someone actually catching this flu from eating food from markets, experts say theoretically it's possible. Theoretically,
a lot of things are possible.
Theoretically, I could be Batman. I'm Batman. Despite the FDA's long list and their long listing of encouraging Americans to not eat raw milk or unpasteurized eggs and dairy, you're not complying. The sales at farmers markets are not going down, you daggum dirty non-compliers. Right? You dirty non-compliers. Heather, are you going to stop the CSA? Are you quitting? Are you quitting my CSA?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So listen, I need everybody, if you're in the Central Florida area and you want to stick it to the man, don't just come down to my shop. Go find a... Now, listen, you have to be careful. I was having a conversation with a guy yesterday before we left town. And I'm not going to knock this place because they are a small business and they are a family, but the U.S. food trucks that back up to Winn-Dixie also back up to this place, okay? So, yes, they are a small local business, but no, they are not a small local farm butcher. They're just cutting up box meat that's coming in from the major, you know, distributors, Tyson, IBP, National. The same brands you find at grocery stores are the brands they sell. They just purdy it up and make it look good and call it gourmet. So you have to be careful. Don't get me wrong. They need support. They got families and kids, and they got a small business. So I get it. But you need to go out today if you want to stick it to the man and if you want to be somewhat rebellious. Go find you a dirty farmer to buy vegetables from. And this is what I told the guy. I said, if you walk into a shop and the guy ain't dirty and he ain't got no blood on him, walk out and leave, because that means he's lying to you. And when I first started, people would come in there, look at me, and be like, oh, I don't know if I want to buy meat from this guy. I actually have been called the shady meat man before, or sketchy meat man, I think is what Joey calls me. But there's something to be said about a guy that is supposedly a farmer, supposedly a rancher, supposedly driving a truck, and he's always spotless, and he's in penny loafers or sandals, and he ain't got no dirt on him, and don't have no calluses, and maybe he's not missing a digit on his left hand or
maybe
right hand.
Maybe he has 8 kids taking care of it for him.
Oh, that could be possible. Yeah. So go by, if you can't get by Organic Meats, Morris Family Farms, Lighthouse Seafood next door is a local market. They pull fish right out of the ocean. They're really good at what they do. And there's other places. I don't have a list in front of me because I just stay in my lane. But find a place and take this opportunity to shop local, go to a farm. But the weather's beautiful right now. This front that came through, the weather's slap gorgeous. Find a farmer's market. There's a lot on Sundays around Florida, all over the country. Find a place to just go out and spend some money and let these idiots in Washington realize that we're not a bunch of sheep lined up for slaughter, just waiting on them to tell us where to go or die, that we actually can think and we have a thought process. And meanwhile, you're going to have to help.
All of your meat needs can be gotten from you, though, because you ship everywhere.
Yes, we do. So we're up here in Fort Walton again at Beach Weekend, 12 Miracle Parkway, Miracle Strip Parkway. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay. Jamie had us up. He's hosting the event. This place is amazing. Jesse James is sitting on my cooler, not doing nothing right now. Lena's hard at work. Get up, boy. Go help somebody. Come on down and get some meat. You can get it here or you can buy it at the shop. But the reason I brought up here again is we have order forms. And we're signing people up for the monthly meat box, or if you want to do a half cow or a whole cow. And I'm looking at a guy right now. Yeah, drink that beer, buddy. Enjoy it, because that's the last one before you write a check. Yes, sir.
So you're also auctioning off.
Yes,
the half
tell them about it, Heather, because you say the words right.
Okay, so Choices Women's Clinic is a nonprofit that encourages women to believe in themselves and their bodies and their futures and have their babies. They do not offer abortions, but we are supporting them and supporting life. And Jonathan has so nicely offered up half a cow, and you guys can bid on it. And you just email halfcowauction@gmail.com. Our current high bid is at $2,200. These cows can range from $1,700 to $2,500 or more. So you're getting a deal, you're getting your meat, and you're getting a charitable donation for your taxes.
Yep. Heather, so this cow actually is hanging, and the weight on this cow is 308 pounds for the half cow. Ooh. So it actually would be closer to like 2,400. So there's a lot of meat here, and I think there's a couple people here that want to get in on that bid. So it's halfcowauction@gmail.com.
All right.
And then if you want, you can go to you can go to Women's Choices Clinic, correct?
No, Choices Women's
Choices
Clinic.
Choices Women's Clinic. And you can donate, you can sponsor me. I'm walking next week.
I think it's under choicesfriends.com or...
choicesfriends.com.
I'm going on a walk. I also posted
it on your Facebook page. Okay. I go to the Morris Family Farms Facebook page and make a donation. Sponsor me. I'm going walking next week to save lives. And then I'll be at the shop doing a free barbecue. So next week at 101 North Country Club Road, if you can't make it to the walk in Orlando, meet us up at the shop. We're doing a barbecue. We're giving away a half cow. We're doing some tomahawks, and we're really trying to get behind supporting life, because that's what we're about. And this is why we need more life, because all we have around us is death sometimes, and it sucks. It really does. There was something terrible that happened in Seminole County yesterday.
You want to save that for the second break?
Yes, I did. I just saw your message. We got to take a quick break. Stick around. If you're at the beach weekend, grab a beer. Remember, tip your bartenders. Be good to them because they're being good to you. Florida Man Radio, Jonathan Morris. We'll be right back.
Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
This is absolutely sickening right here. And Lima, Sheriff Lima and the Seminole County Sheriff's Department, they do a great job. And we were talking about this earlier on an incident that happened up here a while back. Being reactive is great. Reactive law enforcement, and I'm not knocking law enforcement. I respect what y'all do, and it's a hard job. So don't take this the wrong way. But somehow we got to figure out how to be more proactive to stop these crimes, if there is a way. A lady, she's been in the States. Her name is Katrina Alta-Garcia. That's a weird last name, and then there's three other names on the back of it. Guerrero de Agaves. 31 years old, American citizen. She came in legally 5 years ago. Her and her husband owned a couple businesses down in Homestead. She was traveling north up through Jupiter, got into Seminole County through Orlando. She was over in the Tuscaloosa area, which is like a really nice neighborhood. I mean, no, not a lot of crime right there in Tuscaloosa, just outside of Winter Springs in that area. This is where it gets crazy. So as she's driving a Durango up through Tuscaloosa, she notices that the green Acura is behind her and following her through intersections and at stoplights and whatnot. And then it starts to ram her and bump her. Well, instead of calling 911, she did probably the same thing my wife would do, call me. But her husband didn't call police. She didn't call police. They stayed on the phone with each other, and he kept telling her, don't stop and don't get out of the car. Well, after a while, she stopped. And two men got out of the car, and they had one guy was wearing a black hoodie, a ninja-style ski mask. They were carrying handguns. And then they got into the car with her and drove off. Well, unfortunately, I think sometime last night, Heather, did you see was it last night or this morning?
I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday they found her body?
They found her body in the car that had been lit on fire.
Yeah, so they shot her and then burned her?
Yeah, Lima says there's reports of hearing gunshots and ultimately the smoke of a fire was set ablaze and they found the vehicle. Yeah, that's a horrible story. And, you know, normally they say, like, you know, the husband did it.
Right.
I'm kind of wondering.
God. Wait a second.
What?
Wait. No, you just.
Mean, okay, I'm throwing
no,
this out there.
It.
Nobody
no.
else in the world has said this yet, but I listened to
you just
to
solved
a lot.
The case.
Did I? I mean.
If my wife called me, and I got husbands and wives in here, if my wife called me or your wife called you and said, there's two men in an Acura behind me bumping into my car, would you tell her, stay on the phone with me, don't call the police?
I don't know. I mean,
accelerated. Yeah, they would.
She was stopped at a stoplight, so it's not that.
But he didn't call 911. I think he just solved the case. I think the husband hired some assassins.
Don Miller says there's much more to the story.
Oh, Don Miller found time to text us in between the five things he's doing.
Yeah, well, he texts me. I don't know about you.
All right, he sent me a text earlier. but here's the deal. So listen, they followed her. So she left Homestead. Our Homestead, mm-hmm. came all the way up, got out at Jupiter. It's nowhere near Seminole County. Got off in Jupiter, cut across the state, got into Orlando, came up to Winter Springs by Tuscaloosa. And then when they got in her car, they turned around and went back to Boggy Creek, which is in Osceola County.
Her husband said that she was visiting family members, but Sheriff Lima says that we don't know any family members living in Central Florida.
Yeah. Wow, they found 10.
This is totally just my opinion, not JVC, not Florida Man Radio.
Shot her 10 times.
Not Jonathan Morris's opinion, but I think the husband did it. Or knew about it.
I'm pretty good.
I'm sorry. This is probably really rude to even say on the radio.
No, it doesn't make sense because if I'm not in the vicinity to save my family, The first thing I tell them to do is shoot them twice in the chest and once in the head, and then tell them you accidentally missed, you have a bad shot. If you can't do that, call 911. That's what 911's for. You don't know the rule?
Yeah.
You shoot him twice in the chest, once in the head, and you accidentally missed. You were aiming for his leg.
Well, according to Eric this week, you don't aim for anything but the head.
Yeah, but then that'll send you to prison. Now, the use of force matrix will send you to prison. You got to shoot to stop. If you accidentally kill him, that's it. We'll talk about that later. I don't know. Survey says the husband did it.
Well, I mean, that was just me.
Oh, we got the crowd in here. They say the husband paid him off. Yeah, that's a lot to that. You know, I don't want to make too much of a light of it because a woman did lose her life. And I'm pretty sure after 10 gunshots or 10 shots with a handgun, she was dead before they lit her on fire. But I wonder if they were trying to get rid of her and the car, like no evidence. Because they said she was burnt so bad.
What were they after? What did she have that they wanted? What was, you know, there is a lot to this story. I'm sure it'll come out over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure Don Miller will be talking about it on Monday.
That's not just regular road rage.
Said the motive for the incident is unknown, Sheriff Lima says. They're still looking for the two individuals from the Acura, and they are to be considered, oh, no, really, Captain Obvious. They're considered armed and dangerous. Anyway.
Yeah, don't stop at stoplights.
If you see two Spanish people in a green Acura, they're armed and dangerous, probably.
Were they Hispanic, though? One had a mask.
I assumed that because they were from Homestead.
Well, she was.
So racist.
Anyways, white people live in Homestead, too.
Yeah, they do. White people settle at Homestead. Right after they kick Indians out. Homestead's a great place. They grow great sweet corn down there. They got a good women's prison down there also. I got burned alive down there one time, but I made it. God save me.
That's a lot to unpack right there. All right.
Yeah, they said that they're going to have to use DNA dental records.
Oh.
Wow. To identify the body. So they're just assuming
it's her.
They assume
it's her, right. They're probably right.
It's her Durango. It's her Durango, and it's her a female, and who else got shot 10 times by some guys in Acura? Back to the good news in Florida. Governor DeSantis is busy governing our state. The reason I bring this story up, and but maybe I'll show hands, let me know what you think. Some people say this is dictatorship, but I say this is kudos to the governor for standing up for restaurants and, like, you know, when you think about, like, mom-and-pop pizza places, I'm not talking about, like, big chains, but Uber Eats, what is it, Lyft, and what are all the food places? What are all the food deliveries?
I couldn't tell you.
I don't use them.
Yeah, I don't use them.
You know why I don't use them? I was in a 7-Eleven one day, and I watched this guy that weighed about 900 pounds. He had slobber all over him, and he was wearing a sleeveless cutout shirt. And he walked in and picked up, like, I guess some hot dogs and a Slurpee or something, wiped his nose.
Oh, yeah, Slurpee.
Picked up the bag and threw it in. No, this wasn't today. And threw it in the dirtiest car I've ever seen in my life. And I said to the 7-Eleven guy, I was like, that dude didn't pay you? He's like, oh, no, he's a Lyft driver, Uber driver. I was like, that cat's taking somebody's food to their house? He's like, yeah, man, you ought to see the people that pick up food. So anyways, I don't use places like that, but
I don't like people touching my food, and I don't need an extra person in between.
They put the stamp on the bag. It's clean and safe because they put that little sticker. You got a sticker.
Okay.
But anyways, Governor DeSantis signed 11 bills into law or measures on Tuesday this past week. One of them is preventing the platforms from unilaterally offering prices different from what is listed on the restaurant's menus and then charging, basically holding the restaurant's hijack. So I didn't know this. I was talking to Dolly's Pizza there in our plaza. And I guess in today's world, you can't afford your own delivery driver anymore because minimum wage and all the different crazy, you know, things you have to pay, and then car insurance and the price of fuel and all the stuff that goes in. Teenagers just ain't out riding around delivering pizzas no more, I guess. So to offset that, they contract out to Uber in these different places. Well, if I understand him right, like, if a pizza costs $20, they hijack the restaurant and say, if you don't pay us 18%, we're not going to deliver your pizza. So they're only paying 82% of the $20 to the restaurant. But then I guess to the consumer, they charge 18 to 20% on top of the pizza for delivering it. So they're double dipping. They're getting paid on both sides. So
I mean, it kind of makes sense because they're running a business and they're carrying a product from one place to another. So I get that, but like jacking the price up.
I guess my thing of it is, okay, I guess my thing of it is and I, this is where I agree with our governor. If a pizza's $20, it's $20, okay?
Right. Then
the Uber company should pay the pizza place $20.
Right.
And then if you want to pay Uber $10, $12, $15, $20 bucks, whatever it is, to bring it to your house because you're too sorry and lazy to go get your own pizza.
Right.
Then that's between you and Uber. That ain't got nothing to do with the Dolly's Pizza Place trying to stay and living,
right.
Stay in business and compete with Papa John's and Pizza Hut and everybody else that's making pizza.
They shouldn't be forced to give a discount simply because they have somebody else running the food.
Yes, you're so much better with words than me. That's exactly what the point I'm trying to make. So kudos to the governor. He signed in, and this also is being backed by the Florida Restaurant Lodging Association and Restaurant Industries of Florida. So apparently he's got some support on that. So good. Let's keep our local pizza places in business. God forbid we can't get a pepperoni and double cheese. While we're at it, he's also doing legislation to eliminate retail theft and porch piracy. So I don't get anything delivered to my house. You got to holler at me. I'm sorry.
What's going on?
You texted me.
No, I thought
you just texted me.
Nope.
All right. Do you get deliveries? Does anybody get packages? Does anybody order from Amazon?
All the time.
You ever had them stole? Porch pirates?
No, not here.
No, we don't get that in here?
Nothing in Destin?
I have. Nothing in Niceville?
Nothing in Niceville.
What about you, Heather? Anything in your town?
No. No, but we've got dogs that bark, and we've got cameras, and yeah. No.
And you live on a... Oh, yeah, I can't tell people where you live.
No, please don't. Thank you.
Yeah. You live right next to John Morgan in that gated community.
You know what?
I guess it's a big deal up north. It's
a big deal everywhere. There's porch pirates everywhere.
All right, so is DeSantis just being proactive on this then?
It's happening here. It's just not happening to your audience right this moment.
That's good news. I got a good safe audience. We're a bunch of gun-toting audiences. So eliminate retail theft because if you know up north, and I think a lot of these woke, go woke, go broke, a lot of these very liberal states have already started to switch and go back to policies to reinstate, grand theft laws, petty theft laws to help some of these retailers because, you got places like Walgreens and other major retailers that just were packing up and leaving states, leaving California, leaving San Diego, different places because they're getting robbed blind. So HB 549 institutes the following. Third-degree felony, punishable up to 5 years in prison. That'll keep you out of it, won't it? Second-degree felony, punishable up to 15 years in prison. Then a first-degree felony, punishable up to 30 years in prison if the criminal commits retail theft with a firearm with two or more prior convictions.
That seems fair. Yeah.
I think it's more than fair.
Yeah.
I think, there's some countries that if you steal, they cut off one of your hands. Right? Isn't there still countries to do that in Africa? In Africa, if you steal, you get your hand cut off? Or is that Egypt?
I don't know the exact country. I know there are places where corporal punishment is rampant, yes.
Right.
Maybe in Haiti? I don't know.
Don't even start
that's
that.
A crazy
Haiti's
place
a whole
to
other
be right now.
Listen, I know who killed the president. But I'm not allowed to say it because supposedly it'll get me and my buddy killed.
Oh, well, you should keep bringing that up then.
I gotta figure out how to talk about it because seriously, listen, for real, he was telling me some stuff about a CIA agent that his cousin babysat for, and he's like, Jonathan, you can't talk about this on the radio, you're gonna get me killed, and so I told him I wouldn't say his name and I wouldn't say the CIA agent's name, so he begged me not to give out too many details, but like he sat me down and told me about the whole process about how the president of Haiti actually sleeps inside of a safe. Inside the center of his house, and he has 15 armed guards around, and him and his wife, or his wife and him, or however that.
Imagine being
structure.
So important.
Did you sleep in a safe? I don't want to be that important. But here's the deal. So his wife took one shot in the shoulder, all right? They were trained militia assassins that came and killed him. They took him out of the safe. They tortured him for however long before they killed him. So these trained military people went through his entire security staff, got into his house. The safe could only be opened from the inside. It was only his wife, him, and one guard in the safe.
Ooh,
the guard got killed. The guard got killed. The wife took one in the shoulder, take one for the team. and then he brutally was tortured and then executed. Supposedly, the Clintons were behind it. That's what the dude told me.
Yeah.
He said, because, it, you know why?
Go ahead.
And this is supposedly. I don't want my buddy, I almost said his name. I don't want him getting killed. So America quit selling asphalt and concrete to Haiti. Haiti said, we can't get our government and our people and our economy locked down because we don't have roads, we don't have infrastructures. So they had to deal with the United States. They were buying asphalt concrete to better their roads. America cut them off under Joe Biden. So the Haitian president went to Russia and started buying asphalt from Putin. And then when that guy found out about it, supposedly 2 weeks later, that's when he was killed. Florida Man Radio, Jonathan Morris, Between the Ribs. We're in the beautiful Fort Walton Beach weekend. Come hang out. We're here for like another hour and 30 minutes or so. Randy's pacing the place. Get on down here.
Getting you back Between the Ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
Men do not menstruate. Only women menstruate. Now, you can call yourself
cis
whatever you want.
Cis men don't menstruate, but trans men do menstruate.
No,
same
they
as
don't.
Non-binary people.
Only
menstruating
women.
Menstruating is not exclusive
yes,
to
it
cis
is.
Women. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
So explain
you're,
to me as to why my body
if
menstruated
you are,
at
if
some
If your chromosomes
point
are XX and you're young, you menstruate. Cool. If you're XY, you don't.
Correct, but what about trans men and non-binary?
They're
we're
not
excluding
men.
A whole group of
they're,
people.
They're women dressed as men.
Well, what's a man to you? You define a man for me.
You have chromosomes that are X and Y. That's what a man is.
So why are we just looking at the science of this as
the
a
science.
Level? When we've learned sex and gender identity are two very, they're completely different things.
They're not completely different.
They are completely different.
Completely different words.
And sex is what you're born with, the sexual reproductive organs you have. Gender is what you identify with. They're completely different
things. Well, I don't accept
things.
That distinction. You have to argue for it. You're just giving a conclusion. You're just making it up.
That's too good not to share. I know it was a little bit long, but y'all had to hear that. So there's these two crackpots, for lack of a better word, on a show with a scientist, with a doctor of science, and I don't know what else to call him. And they are trying to argue with him about menstruating. And I've never menstruated. Have you menstruated, sir?
Nope,
Randy, have you ever menstruated?
Only once.
Alina, do you menstruate? Oh, that's inappropriate. I'm not supposed to ask women that. I'm sorry. these two crackpots that clearly are dudes, but they're all prettied up and tattooed up.
Oh, no, one of them was a girl or was born a female because she now identifies as a man and she says she still menstruates, therefore men can menstruate.
Okay, is that what she up, Nick? I'm thinking, like, how did she pull that off? All right, so the one girl, the girl with the short butch hair with the earrings, that is a dude by birth.
I'm not looking at the clip.
No, I'm sorry, that's a girl by birth.
Girl.
Dressed
yeah,
as a dude. Okay, all right. And
she
the other one's
like a boy.
And the other, and that's what she's saying. So why do I menstruate? Well, because you're still a girl.
Correct.
Yes. And she said, "How dare you exclude a whole group of people? Exclude a whole group of people? How dare you, Mr. Scientist?" The follow the science administration, Heather. Follow the science. Follow the science.
I mean, it's really simple.
But now she. If you look at the video, and I don't know if you're allowed to put that up on my Facebook thing or whatever, but if you look at the clip, we posted it on our Morris Family Farms Facebook. If you look at the clip, she put her hands in quotations above her head. Why are we just focusing on science?
Because it's the most exact.
Because this is the funniest thing I thought, the dude. You can tell he's getting mad, like the scientist is getting mad, and then you see his face.
He's like, how many times do I have to repeat this?
Well, if you watch the video, there's a point where you see his face go, wait a minute, I'm the scientist. Why am I arguing with these idiots? I'm the doctor. They're idiots. And then he says, you're just making this up. And then the clip goes off. But they want to live in a made-up fantasy world. And the reason I wanted to play that clip, two reasons, is to show you the problem. And that's the only way I can show you the problem. So I heard this the other day, and I'm 90% sure I heard it in my truck, and it was Jesse Kelly, but it may not have been. I don't want to take credit for things that I don't come up with. So I didn't come up with this idea, this theory. But this theory is correct. This idea is correct. We focus on politicians. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, this guy, that guy, you know, Vilsack, who's a sack indeed, you know, the Department of Ag guy, like all these idiots that they're idiots. But it doesn't matter what name and what person they replace them with, the problems don't go away. The problems keep coming. They keep coming. So it's like, okay, we get rid of this person and we get rid of person A, we elect person B. Well, we still have the problem. Or else we go farther into the hole. We go backwards as a country. So I heard this from Jesse Kelly. I believe it was him. We don't have a politician problem. We have a people problem. That's why that was Jesse Kelly. All right. I knew I heard it on the radio, but I just couldn't remember where. We have a people problem. And I was like, man, that makes so much sense. Because if it was a politician problem, it'd be a simple fix. Vote them out, vote in the guy you want, and let's continue. But the best way to show the process of this is you look at the people that move from up north, and they move into states like Georgia, or they move into states like Texas, or they're starting to move into Florida. And they're sick and tired of their politician. But yet they don't change their people ways, and they bring their people ways to our great states. And then you look at a place like Austin that is now so liberal, they're almost as liberal as Chicago. You look at a place like Atlanta, Georgia, who they're trying to crucify Trump right now. So the people are removed from the politician. They come to the great South. They get down here south of the Mason-Dixon line, and life is good. There's a jet ski going by. There's a pontoon boat going by. Oh, I got a cooler full of Ruby Reds today. I cannot wait to get home. Thank you, Scooter, for them Ruby Reds. Thank you very much. I cannot wait to pop it in them suckers. So people come down here and they want to enjoy our lifestyle. They want to enjoy our waterways and our hunting areas and our fields and our pastures and our springs. And Heather, you're a runner, walker, body watcher, right? People want to be on your walking and running trails, correct?
I do run.
And you, don't you walk?
I mean, yeah.
And don't you look for dead bodies?
Oh, yeah.
So I am correct. Please don't ever correct me again. You're a runner, walker.
And a body searcher. Okay.
Runner, walker, body searcher. That's okay. What you are. You identify runner, walker, body searcher. Heather Hippopotamus, at your service. You're better than a cadaver dog.
I don't know about that because I've never actually found a body.
You could probably go down to Boggy Creek and identify the burned up lady.
That's no, I'm not doing that.
Was that too soon?
Maybe.
My bad. Sorry.
She's not there anymore, by the way.
Oh, they got her.
I'm sure.
It's not Ash too. Oh, that was bad. I shouldn't have said that either. Dadgummit. So they come down here and they infiltrate our system, our way of life, and they want to mingle with us, and they want to try to talk like us and act like us. And you can find out real quick after spending 5 or 6 minutes with somebody that they're not from the South. They ain't never held a gun. They don't know what a boat looks like. They can't crank a two-cycle motor to save their life. They don't know nothing about nothing. And next thing you know, you have a Democratic school board like we have in Seminole County right now. And that's why you need Carl Tipton and Kelly, her last name is Corton. We're helping two people get elected. Both of them are conservative Christian Republicans that believe in discipline, that believe in structure, and that believe in those two 19-year-old boys that came over from Seminole High and broke into Lake Mary High trying to execute a bounty on somebody and got arrested. 19-year-olds still in high school, okay? But if you look at the school board, very Democratic, very liberal, even Seminole County, which by all accounts perceivable is a very red, very conservative county, we have a very liberal school board. And we have a passive-aggressive stance on crime. And I don't know, Heather, did you hear that story? How do you feel? You have kids in Seminole County. How do you feel knowing, like, for instance, Julian, and I'm sorry I can't see your face, so if I'm talking and you're trying to get in, I apologize. Julian, the way his birthday falls, he will graduate high school as a 17-year-old senior. You did that?
I did that, yep.
All right. How do you feel knowing that there are 19-year-old, almost 20-year-old kids in the same classroom?
Their education and their maturity level might be about the same as the 17-year-old.
You think so? Wait a second. Maybe their maturity level, but their gangster level, or their adult thought process, their hormones, their muscle structure, their thoughts and ideas are different.
Sure, but
they're adults. They're almost, they're basically adults.
Well, you could also say like a 16 or 17 year old girl is more mature and maybe even smarter than some of the senior boys. I mean, I don't know.
I guess my problem with it is at first when the story first came out,
they were going to change the age of what it is to be an adult. Because you can't, like, say, okay, you're 18, you have to get out of school, or you're 19, you can't be here.
Yes, you can.
When they've been on that same track.
No, you can age those jokers out. Because the only way you graduate high school as a 19-year-old is either you stayed back, you've been in trouble, you've had credit denial. You either graduate high school as a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old. There's nothing.
No, you can graduate older.
How?
If you've got a late birthday, maybe you were held back 1 year.
No, early birthdays, you graduate older. Julian's birthday is after September 28th.
If that's he's graduating at 17, that doesn't mean he's older.
No, that means he's graduating younger. One of the younger ones. Yes, I know. So to graduate at 19, that means you missed both years, 17 and 18.
No, it just means you were held back 1 year.
Just one?
Yeah.
I don't know. This guy's looking at me like I'm right. I'm right, Heather's wrong, correct? I guess what I'm getting at is, so let's peel back the other layer of the onion. Not only were they 19 years old, they were in possession of a firearm. They had obviously had driver's license. They had their own car. So they skipped school. They drove across town, across the county, broke into another school, and were walking the hallways to kill somebody.
Yeah, that's bad.
So Carl Tifton believes in like schools like Journeys. And there's another school in Lake Mary, Seminole County area, where kids go when they can't behave and they can't stay on task. And we need that. So what I'm getting at is people come down. It's a long story all the way around. The people problem. People change politicians. They elect one guy. They don't like him. They get rid of that guy. And then another guy comes in, but yet nothing changes. We don't get more morality. We don't get better standards. We don't get safer schools.
So
we
it's
don't
a have people better problem.
It's a people problem. That's it. That's it. Yes, sir. So when are we as people going to stand up and all my shirts on the wall say, we the people, they're for sale, by the way. Anybody wants to buy a shirt, support the cause. We the people, when are we the people going to stand up and start demanding that the people around us live better, act better? The preacher at our church told my son the other day and all the kids at youth, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And show me your people, and I'll show you your future, America. Florida Man Radio, I'm Jonathan Morris. We'll be right back.
Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
We've been celebrating 50 years of hate hip-hop. I think the worst thing to happen to the black community was hip-hop. I'm sick. I'm old enough to remember. We pulled our pants up. Man's draws. Walk down in public. Pop. Our women didn't paint. Draw tattoo all over themselves. Before hip hop, our singers didn't sing songs calling our women female dogs, chicken heads, skeezers, and the women didn't call themselves that.
They ain't do it
before hip hop. Praise the Lord. It was before hip hop when Aretha Franklin said, "You make me feel like a natural woman." That was before hip-hop. Since hip-hop, he make me feel like I'm a female dog. Oh, here we go. We went down, down. Look at how we dress. Down. Look at how we walk. Down. This is how we talk. Down. And people are celebrating that. And see, some of you sisters, you're not 50, so you were born in being called. You think that's the way it has always been. You were born in being called female dogs in the music. See, you were born with the music putting you down. Ain't nobody singing to you, my sisters.
Jay-Z paid $100 million to have Country Carter played on country music stations. That's when you know your wife can't sing country music.
Every time I hear it, I hear the Franklin theme song, that cartoon of the turtle. Every time.
Really? Oh, my gosh, it's garbage. You know, there was a song we used to sing in Sunday school. Input, output, garbage in, garbage out. Input, output, what goes in must come out. It's a bunch of garbage. It's just straight crap. But the reason I played that clip was to make Don Miller mad. No, I'm just playing. Don was still calling me, but he's busy. We were talking about this, and we were talking about how culture and people are changed by music. And you know how, I swear, Facebook and the phones, they listen to everything you say. Because I've never seen this preacher before. Oh, by the way, there's something to be said about a black preacher. They can take any topic and turn it into a hallelujah message for Jesus. Ain't that right, Randy? Randy's laughing. I implore you to go watch that clip, because he had all the deacons with him, and every time he said down, they were like, down, down, yes, yes, Jesus, down. It's quite the clip. It's very entertaining, but it's very factual, and it's sad, because when you have the society we live in, and it don't matter if you're a honky-ass cracker, right? And I told Jesse a story one time about Miss Elizabeth, that I walked to her grass, and she used to sell 5-cent candy in Runyon Village down in between Pahokee and Belgrade. And we would go over there to get our 5-cent candy and our pickle sausage and our pickle eggs, and she would sit in her chair in her doorway, and she would sell stuff, you know, now and later, and little candies and stuff. And if you got off her sidewalk and got on her grass, she would give you the what for. And one day, I don't know why I did that, I cut across the grass, and before I could say I'm sorry and please forgive me and please don't kill me, she yelled out, "Get your honky cracker ass off my grass." And all I said was, "Yes, ma'am, Miss Elizabeth." But we lived in a time, I was probably 6, 7, maybe something like that. We lived in a time where you had respect for people. You had respect for women. You had respect for your elders. And they had respect for themselves. And it didn't matter if it was black, white, indifferent. Today, when you look at music and you look at culture and you look at identification of people, especially in black community and hip-hop rap, the message is just 100% self-degrading, but they highlight it. We were talking something Big Chief or Chief somebody. Alina and I were talking about a guy who's got, you know, babies from different women and maybe facing a murder charge or a shooting charge or something. And Chief Keef. And you look at this stuff, and you look at the music they play and the music they listen to and how they talk about their friends and their family and their moms and their dads and law enforcement. And they, you hear that over and over and over, it begins to, you begin to brainwash yourself, and then that's all you hear, so that's your opinion of yourself, your opinion of your culture, and then you allow yourselves and your friends and people in your circle to talk about you in such a manner that that becomes socially acceptable. And if you don't carry yourself with a certain level of respect, because you have no value in yourself, how can you expect other people to value you and show you respect and care for you the way you deserve to be cared for as a child of God or just, you know, as a good human being? It's impossible. I just wanted to throw that in there. Heather, I don't know if you have a take on that. You have children. Do you monitor the music your children listen to, or do you give them free rein? Or
pretty much free rein, but they're not listening to anything that's not on the radio, so...
Okay. No, that's good. I feel like kids need to be raised. It's an action word. It's not an adjective. It's an action word to raise your children. So I you know, I beat my kids. I don't mean you disagree on that, but
you don't, you know, beat them. You discipline them in a different way than I do.
I beat them. Heather, we beat our children. Now, in a godly way, in a legal way, in an HRS way. HRS approved. HRS and the Farm Bureau Radio do not share the opinions of Jonathan Morris. We beat our children. But I try to talk to them first, and then if they don't listen, Heather, what am I supposed to do?
You take away devices. Oh, wait, they don't have them. You take away games. You send them to their room. You make them do yard work or scrub floorboards.
I just had a brilliant idea.
What's that?
You know how many people come to my shop and say... That goes after the beating. Scooter said that's after the whipping. Now go into your room and cry and turn the game off. People come to my shop, they're like, "If you don't behave, I'm going to send you to Mr. Morris's farm." And I'm like, "I don't want your kid. Don't send me your..."
I might start using that.
Well, here's what I was thinking. I'll tell my kids, "If you don't act right, I'm going to send you over to Auntie Heather She's going to buy you a device and give it to you and then take it away from you.
Oh, yeah. I'll take your kids. You have really good kids.
I do. I am a blessed man. When the Bible talks about the quiver and the arrow thing and the satchel stuff, you know, that's what I am. And that's, I'm paraphrasing. But something about a father, like, you know, I have a Proverbs 31 wife. You know, it's better to have a wife in peace than to live on a rooftop by yourself or something. I don't know. I got to pay more attention when I'm reading. Can we get back to some stories? Russia seized 650,000 acres of farmland and other assets. But first, Iowa. Kudos to the Iowa governor. Have y'all heard this story? Iowa governor signs a bill that makes it a crime to be an undocumented migrant in the state of Iowa.
I thought that was a crime across the country.
It's supposed to be. Thank you very much, Heather Hippopotamus, for joining the conversation. It is unconstitutional. It is against the law. It is a, I don't know if it's a state crime or a federal crime, to be here illegally. Why are governors having to waste their time signing bills into law to reinforce the laws that are already on the books? Can you answer me that?
Are you asking?
Oh, I'm asking you, Heather.
Oh, no, ask your audience. I don't know.
I'm not asking the 10,000 people that are standing in front of me. I'm asking you, Heather.
I don't know.
Iowa's taking a page out of the Texas book. The governor signed a bill into law this week allowing law enforcement officers. And this is what's crazy. We have a lot of good, there's always one or two bad apples, but we have a lot of good sheriff deputies, city police, state police, federal police. We do. We have a lot of good guys, a lot of good gals. But their hands are tied. It's almost like they're the ones in handcuffs out trying to patrol because they know right from wrong. They know moral code. They know what the laws are on the books. But they also know the paperwork and the time it takes to do a report to just have a judge give them the walking slip. You know, you're being released on your own reconnaissance. Do you know what that means, Heather?
Yes.
You go to jail? Okay. Release on your own reconnaissance. Or it's a crime that you should have bond or bail denied, and they set a bail of $300 or $3,000, and you only have to put up $300. So it starts to tie their hands and affect their performance as a police officer. So the governor, Kim Reynolds, and she's a Republican governor, obviously, she is now making it a crime to be in the state after being deported. That's pretty cool. So,
well, they're deported. They already know that they're doing wrong. They should stay deported.
Well, do you know, I'm glad you said that, because President Biden currently blocked an appeal making it, or they're considering the Constitution, I want to word it right. They have a federal appeal blocked, or blocking the governor in Iowa, also blocking the governor of Texas from doing this, saying that they have to check the constitutionality. Is that the right constitutionality? Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah.
The constitutionality of this legislation, of this bill. Meaning, you're an illegal immigrant. You're not an immigrant. Immigrants migrate, and they set up shop, and they pay bills, and they join the community, and they work themselves into the fabrics of society. So they're not migrating. They are not immigrants. They're illegals. They are trespassers. Call them for what they are. They have a federal appeals court that is blocking or trying to block the governor Reynolds from Iowa and Abbott from Texas, saying that the constitutionality of what they're doing cannot stand. And I've asked this question before. How do trespassers, like for instance, if you come into my house and you're not invited, I'm going to shoot you.
Because I believe
you. You don't get to be in my house. You don't get to, hello, hey, Kim. You don't get to be in my house because you're a trespasser, so you have to be removed from my house. So if you're a trespasser in the United States of America, you should be removed from the United States of America, especially if you've already been deported. Am I crazy?
Yeah, but not on this.
What?
Yes, you're crazy, but not on this. You're correct on this.
I'm going to get you to Piskin. You know, you're illegal. You're here from Honduras. You're a tall Hondurian. That's what I'm going to tell them. Extra large Honduran Heather Hippopotamus.
Anyway.
So they're blocking this, saying that you can't do that. So, again, I ask myself and I ask you, and this is a serious question. do we have a politician problem or do we have a people problem? Because the people are the ones that continue to vote for the politicians. The people are the ones that so many signatures you have to get something on a ballot. So many people have to vote on it. You know, 66% of the population has to vote on legislation to get it passed on the ballot. So who are the people in America, in the fabric of our society, voting on things to allow trespassers to stay here, especially after they've been caught and deported, and then somehow they sneak back across and they have more constitutional rights than we do? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Russia took 650,000 acres of farmland and other assets from companies with ties to unfriendly country. Sometimes I think if it wasn't for the fact that they're communist bastards, I'd rather be a Russian than an American. But then I remember I'm a free person and I would rather be an American. But Russia don't mess around. I told you about that guy last week, Heather, that put a bounty out and said if anybody from the UN joins the Ukraine war, they're going to kill them and burn their bodies on the battlefield.
Yikes.
Why can't we get leaders like that? Like, imagine this. Hey, if you come over here illegally, we're going to kill you, burn you, and leave you on the street we found you on. Is that un-American?
It's cruel. We try not to be cruel.
But what if we were cruel? What if we started killing people and leaving them where they're at and let the brothers eat them? And they covered it on the news, and the people that were trying to get through the hole in the wall, we're like, oh, man, if we go to that place, they're going to shoot us and leave us there for buzzers.
Why don't we just enforce the rules that we already have?
Oh, that's a great idea. Why not make life easy? Vote Jonathan Morris, 2038, if I'm still alive. All right, I got to get to this Russia story. Putin ain't playing around. And then Japan, it's crazy to me how other countries around the world, the farming techniques and the farming assets that they are having, and in America, farming is a threat to the climate, and it's a global pandemic, and it's going to kill us all. So we have to go to Bill Gates and his synthetic meat. Florida Man Radio, Fort Walton Beach, Jonathan Morris. We'll be right back.
Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
I probably love, partner. And if you're by yourself, no worries. Just follow after me. Yeah. Gonna do the two-step.
Russia seizes over 650,000 acres of farmland. There's a reason I'm telling you about this. And I was joking, by the way. I never wanted to be Russian in my life. I don't want to be a Russian. I'm glad to be an American. There's a company called AgroTerra Group. Okay, Russia took 650,000 acres from them and tied up many of their assets because they are tied with what Putin calls unfriendly countries. He's also going after some dairy farms and a brewery, all right? And all this has to do with their response of the Ukraine war. The reason I'm bringing this up, all right, follow me, put on your cap. Russia is under dictatorship of Putin. They're a communist country. They're a socialist country, okay? Their people are not free. President Vladimir Putin did a decree, kind of like executive order. Decree, executive order. They're kind of the same thing. His executive order places AgroTerra under the jurisdiction of Russia's property management agency. They have their own actual federal property management agency, all right? And the guy's name is Rosenvov. I can't pronounce it. All right, he's like the czar for that. All right, so the czar seized the money and the land from the company, put them under investigation because of the way they're operating during the Ukraine war. And it is going to have a direct effect on their supply chain and the food for the people. Doesn't that sound a lot like the USDA and the FDA and Dr. Darvin Detweiler, who is our czar, for lack of a better word, and under the advisory of Joe Biden says Americans can't, with a capital C, buy meat, eggs, dairy,
And produce. He said, try me.
From a farmer's market?
Right.
And are they not starting to up the sanctions on farmer's markets and small farmers and the litigation and the things that they're doing? I mean, Heather, tell me, I mean, again, you've already announced that I am crazy, but, and I don't know how I got that in my, I don't know how I got that in my brain today that, am I crazy, am I crazy? We all know I'm crazy.
A little bit.
Okay? But we have a nice passive-aggressive way in American politics to play this game. And when I made the comment about sometimes I wish I was Russian, I got, long time ago, I was under the belief system, and I still am, of, I will live and die by my decisions, good, bad, or indifferent. And if I meet you as a human being, and you got the DNA structure, testes, you know, testosterone, sac, whatever you want to call it, backbone, to make a decision, look at me in the face, and then ride with it, good, bad, or indifferent, I can back your play every time. You can be dead wrong. Tell me you're dead wrong, but we're going to go into the place and clean house because that's your belief system. That's what you're standing on. And even though you're wrong, you're not wishy-washy. You're not a flippity-floppity pancake. You're in it all the way, good, bad, or different. I can get down with that. I'm cool with that. We can talk about details later. All right? As long as I know we're solid, we're built on solid ground, and we're moving one way. That's how Putin is. That's how Russia is. Russia operates, hey, we got a big swinging D, and this is what we're going to do. And this is what our policies are. And we're taking stuff, and we're breaking stuff, and we're killing stuff. And this is just what we're doing. We don't care if you like it or not. America plays these stupid, wishy-washy, flippity-floppity pancake policies, pancake politics. And it's trickery, and it's heronacy, and it's hypocrisy. But at the end, they are putting out legislation and executive orders and decrees and memorandums and everything else to do the same thing Putin is doing in Russia. But yet they call Trump the dictator. They call Trump the Nazi. They call Trump the racist. And Biden and his administration, from the transportation secretary to the agriculture secretary to the health administrator, kudos to Women's of the Year, by the way. To the man that looks like he's wearing a...
Don't. Just don't.
we don't have any more dump buttons.
No. Oh, it's loaded up.
Now's a good time for you to tell them about Choices Women's Clinic.
Go for it.
You go for it.
Choices Women's Clinic is having a Walk for Life this next Saturday, the 20th. You can register on choicesfriends.com, I believe it is. Choices is a clinic that, abortion-minded people would go to and then be taught about how, if they are down in the dumps and they're at that point where they're actually considering abortion, there's so many more choices and avenues that they can go down, and there are resources to be helped if it's a financial burden, if it's... they need food, or they don't know how to raise a baby. They offer mentoring programs, and they help people out in lots of ways. And so we love them. We've had Vicki Matthews on at least twice now. And we're going to be at the walk next Saturday. It starts at 9 o'clock.
Yes, we're walking. And then after the walk, we're going back to our shop, 101 North Country Club Road in Lake Mary. And by the way, it's still open right now. I'm in Fort Walton, obviously at Beach Weekend with all you fine folks.
101 North Country Club Road, open until 6 p.m. unless there's somebody in there, and then they'll stay open for you.
We got the last man standing rule. Yes, man, we do. Amy's there. The kids are there. They just sent me a picture of some fillets, and they are, Julian and them are cooking. They still have brisket available. They did not sell out, so
the brisket. I love how your 14-year-old cooks. That's just awesome.
Right? It is. It's begging. I got grown adult kids. But we raised
them. My 14-year-old would not be able to cook that.
Are you serious?
Yes. I mean, even if he ate meat.
I'm sending you a picture right now.
Okay.
Because I'm at a bar deck, and we're playing, and we're having a great time. Check out what I just sent you. I don't know. There's no way to put it up on the Facebook, probably. But Julian just cooked that, and Amy sent me a picture. Look what Julian just cooked.
So is that... medium rare, or is that
that's rare?
That's you rare.
See the,
okay.
You see, if you blow up the picture, Bear with me, everybody. Look at this picture. This is perfectly cooked meat. You see that dark, almost purplish center?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see how around there there's a ring of lighter tannish brown meat, and then there's the black char on top?
Yeah.
That's almost Pittsburgh style, but not quite. But that is a seared to perfection, rare filet mignon.
He did a good job.
And then you see how it's stacked on top of each other? He butterflied it and folded the bottom over. So it almost looks like a double decker, like a double cheeseburger.
Okay.
That is the cat's meow. That's absolutely fantastic. Look at that, Randy. Perfectly cooked filet. Best in the business. Randy's like,
good
you're
job,
on the radio.
Julian. That Randy's does like, look delicious.
Randy's like, you're on the radio. Quit showing me pictures. Oh.
Hey, Jonathan, of, you have a show. You have a meat store.
Yes, I do. But before we sell meat. 101 North Country Club Road at Morganic Meats. If you're listening to us, we have had a great time. I just want to give one more shout out to Beach Weekend. It's been incredible. We've had a lot of fun. Thank you to the bartenders. Thank you for serving everybody. Thank you to Alina and Jesse. Thank you to Randy and Griffo. Thank you to Jamie from Beach Weekend for allowing us to be out here and put all this together. Thank you for everybody who ordered. I can't remember everybody's name. We had 58 people. It was incredible. We just had a great time, and we got to meet a lot of people, got to expand our footprint, expand our brand, and put our meat in your mouth. That's what we do. We put our meat in your mouth, and you say thank you to us for it. Thank you for giving me your meat, Jonathan, right in my mouth. I will wipe it off my chin. And I say that with all due respect. 101 North Country Club Road. Now, listen, we have a couple of things going on. The CSA is already kind of locked in for this round. But if you want to get on the list, because we're already taking orders, 407-402-5686, we already have a waiting list going on. So if you want to get in on a vegetable deal on the next round, text 407-402-5686, text CSA, Community Supported Agriculture. Amy will call you back, probably be Amy. She'll call you back, get with you, get your credit card information, your payment, and get you on the list so you don't miss out on the next time. If you want it on the meat box, we got plenty available. We're actually shipping this week, and we have a stacked meat box, Heather. We kind of changed it up a little bit because the price is going up because of all the fees and not just not fees, but more of the work part. We're working more. We're doing more. Shipping keeps going up. Labels go up. Boxes go up. So everything just keeps going up.
Still more reasonable than if you went to one of the fancy stores.
Or if you ordered,
won't name.
Yes. Or if you ordered a crap meat box from one of these other online crap places, you actually got like 12 to 15 meals in this box. So we kind of changed the box a little bit. Check this out. It's $199 now. $199. It includes shipping to your front door. We have a 3-day turnaround. Now in May, or by May 1st, you're gonna be able to go online to our website and see it, click it, buy it, get an email receipt, and it'll show up at your house within 3 days.
That's awesome.
Right now, you still have to text 407-402-5686, meat box. Text meat box is that number. Check this out. You ready? 12 chicken wings, 2 chicken breasts, a 4-pack of chicken tenders, 2 1-pound packs of ground beef hamburger, 2 3-pack boneless pork chops, 5 hot dogs, 1.5 pounds of stew beef, chuck roast cut up, 5 all-beef hot dogs in a natural beef lining shipped to your house. You can't beat that with a stick. I mean, yeah. I don't know anywhere else that you can get, that you can feed your family 13 meals for $200, all right?
Pounds of meat is that?
It's going to be somewhere between 9.5 to 11.5, you know, depending on how thick and how thin. Can we hand cut everything? So we're not one of these meat box companies, I'm not going to say their name, that has like a precision machine that everything is like frozen, pre-packed, it's laser cut, so every pack's the same old cookie cutter pork chop, cookie cutter chicken breast. So our meat comes off of real animals. So our pork loins look different every animal. Our chicken breast looks different every chicken. Our ribeyes look different depending on the cow. So our meat's slightly different each box. So that kind of what determines it, to be honest with you. But somewhere between 9.5 and 11.5 pounds, and it's going to be delivered to your front door. So you don't even have to pay the shipping. Everything's included in the $199.
That's awesome.
It is.
We still have not made it completely through our meat box that we got. Still eating on that thing.
Really?
Yep.
How are you enjoying it? Why don't you do me a little promo real quick? Cut me a promo, Heather.
No.
What?
Okay, if you were in our kitchen cooking it, I'm sure it'd be even better. Like, it's good meat. It is. You can taste the difference in the chicken, and you can taste the difference in the ground meat. It's...
Randy's fixing to say.
I was going to run up and say hit record, but now that you're finished, don't worry about it.
No. Not on the spot.
Oh, my goodness. I thought you were a professional. Cut me a promo. Speaking of cut me a promo, how about help? Did you hear about those people in Hawaii that wrote help in the snow? They were up on the...
In the snow?
Yeah, I was reading that, but maybe it's not snow. Maybe it's just sand. It looks like so.
They're on a beach.
Oh, yeah. My bad. It looked like a mountain. No, they're on a mountain. They're on a mountain.
Okay.
Aren't they? Hercules. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. The Hawaii-based Coast Guard HC-130J Hercules aircraft made contact with three mariners stranded on Pikalote Atoli, Yap State. I have no idea.
I still think it's a beach.
Okay, I thought it was a
Paikalot Island.
It's an island. They were on a beach. How'd they get out there? On a boat? They were on a 20-foot open skiff that was caught by a swell, and its outboard motor was damaged, according to the Coast Guard. Man, they were out there since March 31st.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so
a really nice vacation.
To be stranded on the beach
A week or two? Yeah.
It's like 14 days.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I could do it. I could live on a beach for 14 days. Well, good news, folks. Your help sign paid off. You got saved.
It's so funny. It says, these three spelled out SOS on the beach, yet we're looking at the picture, and the picture says help.
Yeah.
That picture might actually be in the snow and not Hawaii.
Oh, you think this is clickbait?
No, I think the picture doesn't go with the story.
Yeah, what's that building behind? What's behind that? Between the L and the P, is that a building?
A tiki hut. I don't know.
I'm stranded on a resort island.
That ain't snow.
I'm stranded on a resort island with a tiki hut. And then look.
And an off open to the bar. Left.
Yes, and then off to the left, is that another hut?
I have no idea.
So stupid. It's a stupid story. They weren't dying.
They were having a vacation.
They were having a vacation. They got bored. They were like, hey, let's get the Coast Guard out here. If we put help, if we grab some limbs and write help out here, next to this tiki hut, I wonder if they'll come.
We'll make national news.
National news. Japan, they are urbanizing their farmers in city key farming to organize and to achieve their global organic goal. I can't talk anymore. Jonathan Morris, Florida Man Radio, taking our last break. We'll be right back.
Armor. Getting you back between the ribs with Jonathan Morris on Florida Man Radio.
Should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to roll and ride. Wearing my six shooter, riding my pony.
The spread of organic farms may prompt growers to use more pesticides, not less. How dare you? I want to give a shout out to Miss Genesis. Thank you, Miss Genesis. You were an excellent bartender your first day on the job. Thank you for taking care of the Florida Man crowd and everybody. She said y'all are the best crowd in the world. Y'all are super nice, and she was super nice. So, yes, ma'am, thank you. I hope everybody tipped you well. If not, all right, very good. Thank you. Beach weekend, this place is awesome. We will be back. So you hear all the crazy stuff, right? Organic this, organic that, organic your mama. We need organic controls. Pesticides are killing people. They're causing cancer. The residual levels of restricted pesticides and the metals, the heavy metals in the soil, and the damage to crops, and you're creating super bugs and super pests and super weeds, and it's just... There's so much farce in the whole system, the way it's wrapped up. It's sickening, right? It's absolutely sickening. If they would just come out and be honest and tell you the truth, everything would be a lot easier. But in certain places where they're really forcing what they call the organic push, and here's the thing. There's ways to farm organically and naturally and do it the right way and not be a crazy person. And you limit, and that's how we farm. I tell people we're the reality farmers. So at Morganic Farms, Morganic Meats, Morris Family Farms, it starts with scouting. The word is scouting. So instead of just having a broad spectrum spray pattern or spray program where let's say you got 100 acres of green beans, and green beans grow in 63 days. They germinate after about 12, so they're out of the ground for about 50, 51 days, right? The other 12, 13 days, they're kind of in the ground as the seed pops and germinates, just the way the crop works. They bloom, and then they push. The green bean starts to push out. So you have that whole process of growing green beans. A lot of places that grow a lot of green beans, like let's say Green Giant, right? Everybody knows Green Giant. They have a lot of canned green beans. Places like that have what they call a spray program, where they go out and green beans get sprayed every 3 to 5 days, no matter what. They don't take any chances. They don't gamble. They put out a pesticide, a fungicide, a herbicide. So green beans are a broadleaf crop, right? And so because somebody says, like, well, why'd you say herbicide? Green beans are a broadleaf crop, so a lot of grass can grow in between there. And if you're a corn farmer, you have some corn pop-ups that would grow in between your crops and different things that would overtake your Johnson grass, your crab grass. There's all kind of grass, right? That'll overtake, and it fights for the nutrients in the soil level of the green bean. So you want to keep your fields clean. So there's herbicides, there's insecticides, there's fungicides to defeat pests, funguses, and weeds. So a lot of places, like a company like Green Giant, I'm not picking on them, they grow millions and millions of cans of green beans, and the green beans have to be good. They can't be, you know, you open up a can of green beans and they got blight all over them, and they're brown and the water's black and they're all wrinkled up. You're going to throw the can out, or you're going to go by the grocery store and tell them you got a bad can of green beans, you're going to run a refund. So even though they go into the cans, or what they call a cannery type of green bean, the green beans still have to be good and clean and grown properly. So they have to be sprayed, or they have to be properly monitored. So companies like that don't have time to scout their fields, monitor their fields, spot, walk, locate, and then spray accordingly. They just send up dust croppers, you know, helicopters or them little yellow airplanes, depending on if you live in an agriculture community, you know or don't know what I'm talking about. Or they have what we call a high crop, a row crop, high crop, or a high yield tractor that's, you know, up off the ground 4 or 5 feet. It rides above the green beans. It's got very skinny tires on it, and it rides through the fields. It doesn't disturb the blooms, the plants, the green beans, and they spray. They load up the spray rig, and they spray every 3 to 5 days, no matter what. In the warmer months, believe it or not, Heather, they spray sometimes twice a day because the bug pressure, that's what you call it, how many bugs are in your field and how much damage you're getting done, that's called pressure. So sometimes the bug pressure is very low, very minimal, so you don't have to spray a lot. Sometimes the blood pressure is extremely high, so you have to follow the life cycle of the bugs, and you have to catch them when they're breeding so you can kill the embryo, all right? So it's like, you know, I was going to say aborting a pest, but that's probably a terrible way to say it.
Well, they're born already.
Not in the egg stage, but
whatever.
Oh,
okay. Well, they're bugs.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to make light of children and people.
Bugs' life matter too, Jonathan.
Bugs' life suck.
Okay.
We kill bugs here. I'm sorry. I went somewhere completely wrong, and I had to stop and bring myself back. So I apologize for the dramatic pause. For the people who are still here, thank you very much. As we're wrapping this thing up today. So long story short, the farming like that, when you have, okay, so you have this place, and that's mandated by the region, the USDA, the Department of Ag, inside a state like California, that they are forcing farmers to put so many acres of their land into organic practices and organic restrictions. When the government gets involved and tells you how you have to do something, it creates a problem. So it's one thing to allow you to do the right thing and hope you do it. And yes, you can have, you know, some paperwork and some monitoring and stuff like that. It's not a big deal. That's in every industry. But when you have a spread of organic farms prompted by the government, okay, or forced by the government, and they're telling you that, hey, listen, we got a guy over here, our buddy Bill, that's growing ladybugs, and ladybugs eat this bug, So we want you to start raising ladybugs and buying ladybugs from Bill. And you're not gonna, we're not going to allow you to spray this chemical anymore on this 400 acres. And I know this is a long story, but follow me. We're not going to allow you. We're going to penalize you if you spray on this 400 acres. Now, what they don't tell you is the 5,000 acres around it from the other farms that are what you call commodity farms, just normal farms. The ladybugs don't eat enough of the bugs, right?
They only eat aphids.
Yes. You beat me to the punch. So that's cool because I'm running out of time and I'm telling a long story. But yes, so you have other things like glassy wing grass shooter. You have grasshoppers. You have sharpshooters. You have things that kill grapes. So there's multi species of pests. So thank you. You got me kind of back on track. So ladybugs eat aphids. They really don't eat anything else. All right. So when you have pickle worms or cucumber worms or mole crickets or stink bugs, and you're forced to not spray something because of a different species like the ladybug, now you've created a problem. You've created an infestation. And because you're in a 400-acre region that the government says you cannot spray in this region, but you still farm. Now, around that region, and I'm sorry it took so long to get here, around that region, the guys that are farming who are allowed to spray, guess how much more spray they're using?
A lot.
About 47%.
Oh, less.
More.
More.
More. What? So 1.47, not minus 0.47.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
So if normally you would put out 10 gallons of a restricted pesticide, now they're putting out 17 and a half gallons. Does that make sense?
Which is defeating the purpose, right?
Exactly. So the spread of forced organic farms in regions where they're trying to use other species of pests to control pests, and they don't have a broad spectrum to control everything, they're creating more pests, they're creating more bugs, and what's happening, and again, I want to go back to the doctor who said don't eat at farmers markets. Because to me, as a farmer who actually, I don't spend a lot of time on tractors anymore, but I grew up on tractors. I grew up in green bean fields and corn fields and cane fields and cabbage fields. So I've seen all this firsthand. I know exactly what I'm talking about. So when you have a program that's assisted by the federal government to force and mandate organic zones, if you will, organic restrictions, and then it's surrounded by other cropland, and you are now mass producing and breeding pests, because pests love to live around food. It's like, you know, rats in New York, right? So pests in vegetable fields, it's just a given. That's what's going to happen, all right? So now the crops around that are being damaged to maximum inefficiency, for lack of a better word. Does that make sense, Heather?
So the bugs that were sprayed on the other, no, I don't, I'm lost. But it makes
okay,
the bugs
so, okay,
because they're
so,
coming
so,
through?
Yes, yeah, so here's the deal. So let's say you have a roach problem at your house.
Okay.
And for years, your neighborhood has roaches. And for years, everybody in your neighborhood sprays.
And they all spray the same thing, and they got immune to it.
No. You have the Aiken man come out, and everybody's spraying, and you're maintaining the roaches, and you keep the roaches in your neighborhood at bay, because you live next to a wooded area, maybe, and there's just roaches. That's just the way it is in your neighborhood.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, the city comes by and says, hey, you two houses in the middle, you can't spray for roaches no more. And now the two houses in between you and your neighbor become a breeding ground for roaches.
Nice.
And then no matter how many times your Aiken man comes out,
he can't
kill the roaches. So now, next thing you know, instead of him coming out once a month, he's out there every 2 weeks. And then that doesn't work, so now he's out there every week. So that doesn't work, so now he's out there every other day. And instead of using one chemical, now he's had to try to break multiple life cycles. Right, AI, active ingredients for multiple life cycles, and he's spraying all the time, and he's spraying 2, 3, 4, 5 different chemicals to control the roaches in your house because you live next to a breeding ground.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that is what the federal government is doing. They now are trying to play daddy, puppet master, if you will, on organic farms, and by doing that, they're creating breeding grounds, which are affecting other fields, other farms, which are destroying and damaging crops, which are causing and creating a supply chain, and there to be less product at the marketplace.
And then prices go up.
Prices go up. Right now, tomatoes, right now, we're in tomato season in Florida. Tomatoes should be, we haven't had a dramatic freeze. The last two fronts we have been a little rough, but not too bad. Tomatoes should be like $22 a box in the field. They're running $47 right now.
Wow.
Well, they may come down.
Tell us how people get a hold of you real quick.
407-402-5686, Organic Meats. Follow me on Facebook, Morris Family Farms. Text your name, your number to 407-402-5686. Organic Meats, Morris Family Farm, 101 North Country Club Road, Lake Mary.